Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The story that you're about to hear is an amazing update to yesterday's insane Entitled Parents episode. If you haven't yet seen it, you need to go and watch it first for this to make any sense. The link is behind the I button right now, down in the description, in the pinned comment as well. Go and watch that right now before you get into this. But to briefly explain what happened, this man's parents tried to steal his house to give to his brother. As we saw yesterday, the events that unfolded were pretty incredible. But this is part two. Opie promised it, and here it is. So here we go. Let's get right into it. Part 2 of parents trying to take my house for my brother. They broke my locks to move in while I wasn't home. As I stated in the first half of my post, many will find this unbelievable and long. Yes, I am aware there are similar sounding posts online already. I've seen a number of them now. But it's not like those posters have a monopoly on this sort of stuff happening to them. If anything, I'm surprised this site hasn't been better weaponized against this sort of thing, since entitled people should be more afraid of getting outed here. But anyway, I do not blame anyone who calls BS. I would too if I was reading this. However, by reading this and my first post, you'll know just how messed up my parents are, as in my life, they were the root of all evil that spawned my brother into the jerk he is today. And never once have they given me a real reason why, and I kind of fear there isn't one. Some people can't explain why they make choices like child favoritism, so it's all they can do to try and stand by the child they backed, which is exactly what my parents try to do, and I've practically destroyed their lives for it, not in the legal sense, but more an emotional one. After I kicked my parents' brother and sister-in-law out for trying to force me to hand over my new house to my brother, I immediately went to my social media and told the story to the whole family. It spread pretty fast, but you won't find it now because it all got deleted some time ago and I put my own profile on private. I posted about it because I knew that the first thing my family would do when they got home is try to twist the event to make me the villain, and I was exactly right. But I had about an hour to get started before them, and I had video evidence to back up my story about what they'd done. No, I don't plan on showing the video here, so don't ask. That is a shame, but I get it. Being preemptive worked, because I got a fair number of family members on my side right away. My parents, brother, and sister-in-law must have been all set to write their own post, but it was too late, so they didn't even bother trying to lie much. My parents, brother Dan, and sister-in-law had a few flying monkeys supporting them, but not much else. Plenty of others knew how entitled they already were, so what happened was something they all quickly understood and accepted. There was one person in particular that called me. I don't know who they were, but they ranted at me that I was a horrible brother and I needed to make way for a real family man. I just ended the call and blocked the number. This didn't repeat. The week went by, and my parents showed up with Dan at my front porch, just like they said they would in the prior ultimatum. They rang my doorbell like crazy and also pounded on the door until I finally answered. I opened it just a crack and they tried to shove their way in again, but I'd installed a couple of latch chains that prevented it and even braced my body against the door for good measure. My father and brother demanded I let them in, but I said I was recording everything on camera and I called the police if they tried to force their way in again. My mother calmed them down and then in her most sickly sweet tone asked me if I was ready to let my brother move in. I told her and the rest of them to F off and never come back. My mother put on the crocodile tears and asked me why I can't just do this for Dan because he's my beloved brother. I laughed and then bluntly said, I do not love him as a brother because he treated me like trash for years, and they only encouraged him to do so. They are terrible parents and he is a terrible brother. Then I told them to leave or I'd be calling the police ASAP. They all left surprisingly easily, apart from my mother's loud crying and the others giving me dirty looks. One could say making them leave was suspiciously easy. I thought the whole mess was over, but I guess I should have taken them more seriously because they had other stupid plans. I came home later that week on Friday evening to find a moving truck and my brother's minivan parked in my driveway. It was Dan and his family there, moving stuff in. He just waved to me with a poop-eating grin when I saw him. I was furious and told him and the rest of the family to stop, but my sister-in-law smugly said to me that, like it or not, they were moving in. And then, in the most fake way, while tilting her head and puckering her lips, she said that it was okay because my mummy allowed it, and I should always listen to what my mummy tells me. I seethed with rage just hearing those words and looking at her smug female dog face, so I locked myself in my truck to call the cops right away. When they realized what I was doing, my sister-in-law started pounding on my window and yelling at me to stop, and that I can't do this to her because she and Dan need the house. And she cried,
why can't you just do this for Dan?
I responded with, screw Dan, it's my dang house, not his. Then she threatened to key the side of my truck unless I stopped calling the police, all of which the 911 operator heard thanks to the window being slightly open. I told my sister-in-law, if she damaged my truck, I'd sue her, and she was smart enough to retreat. When the police arrived, Dan and my sister-in-law, with their kids, had locked themselves in my house. I told the cops what had happened, as well as showing them my new driver's license that had my current address on it. Then, when we went to my front door, I saw that they'd changed the lock, and the old lock was laying on the porch with the center of it drilled out, and the drill they used was lying right next to it, with a complete Harbour Freight drill bit set. Could they have been any more stupid leaving evidence out like that? I pointed out the broken lock and drill and then gave the police a rundown on all the events that had happened prior. Well, I guess Dan called our parents over at some point after I arrived home, because they showed up while I was talking to the cops. My parents immediately lied and started saying that I'd agreed to rent my house to my brother and his family. I said that was an easily provable lie one way or another. So Dan and my sister-in-law finally came out of my house with some papers in hand. They both looked super smug, like they'd somehow outsmarted me. They'd actually drawn up and printed out a fake rental agreement, but my signature was not on it. There was one, but it looked nothing like my handwriting. I don't think any of them had actually ever seen my signature, so that was incredibly stupid on their part. I told my parents and Dan that that was stupidly blatant fraud, and if the cops investigated, they'd easily figure that out. And I don't think going to jail and court would do them any good. It could even make Dan lose his job, which is his only means of providing for his family. I also said I would get a lawyer and sue for damages if anything of mine was lost, stolen, or broken, and that I'd call CPS2 for good measure. Dan went white and looked really scared when I said all that, but my mother got between us and doubled down about how I should just do this for Dan and live in the dank camper so they can finally have a family home to themselves. I yelled at her that if she thought it was such a good idea, she could do it for Dan herself and let Dan have her house to himself instead. The cops separated my mother from me, and I said I wanted them all out right now or I'll press charges. I stated in a shout about how they drilled out my front door lock to break in. The lease papers were obvious fakes, they badly forged my signature, and I have recorded video of my sister-in-law attacking me. Those are felonies that I could screw over their lives with if I wanted to, and if they didn't leave, that is exactly what I'd do. The only reason they hadn't already was for the sake of Dan's kids. So they have one chance to get the F out. The moment my parents heard that, I think it finally clicked that they could not force me to do it for Dan. My mother surrendered and said she put an end to this. Then she went over to my sister-in-law and spoke with her quietly for a minute while my father spoke to Dan. My sister-in-law instantly started loudly crying and ripping up the fake rental papers into tiny bits and tossing them like confetti, only to have an officer tell them to pick up the bits of paper or he'd cite them for littering. Both of the cops at this point had a "I don't get paid enough for this" look on their faces. Dan had to start telling his kids to load their stuff back into the moving truck. The kids were all crying, and the eldest was sobbing that he won't get his own room now. My sister-in-law and Dan gathered their kids up to try and make one last pathetic attempt to guilt me with the sad family routine. You know, where they all gather together in a sort of group hug while all facing One Direction. I swear, I think they've practiced it before. All of the kids had the same pleading look with quivering mouths. My sister-in-law kept rubbing her pregnant belly and tilting her head to look like a sad puppy, and my brother just made the saddest face he possibly could and said, "Please don't do this. We need to be able to live here." But I didn't falter and told them to keep packing. All the kids and my sister-in-law turned the crying up to 11, and Dan then yelled at me. "Are you satisfied with yourself? You've denied us a home because you're too selfish to share and help out family." I ended up laughing like a maniac and retorting that what he was trying to do was taking, not sharing. And no amount of crying will make me let his family move in because he's no brother of mine anymore. He's just an entitled idiot who thinks he can take whatever he wants from me, like when we were kids. Dan then started F-bombing me until the cops told him to cool it or he'd be in cuffs regardless of if I wanted to press charges. He sucked in his lips and looked a mix of afraid and supremely angry. I asked the cops if they could stick around until my parents, brother, and sister-in-law had all left, and they said they had no intention of going anywhere until this had been resolved. In fact, in the next few minutes, two cops became four as more drove in for whatever reason. That gave my parents some extra incentive to get moving. I made Dan give me the keys to the new lock that he'd put on my front door, though I got another lock the next day anyway because I didn't know if he had copies of the keys or not. He was really reluctant to hand them over. Then instead of handing them to me, he actually threw them down the street and into a storm drain while saying to go and get them myself. but one of the cops scolded him for that and made him go and get them. He had to go and pull the grate off just to get them, and he got pretty dirty in the process. When he got the keys back, he just grumbled, then slammed them down into my hand. I then told them all to leave and never come back. My mother said that I'd be disowned for this, as if that was some kind of threat to me, and I voiced that to them. Then, in an overly sarcastic tone, I said something along the lines of, "Oh no, that means I won't get to come to any holidays with you guys, or I always get treated terribly by you all anyway, because Dan has always been your obvious favourite. You all treated me so badly when I was growing up that if Dan ever needs an organ donor, I wouldn't give him anything. So, do like you always told me to do when I was mistreated by all of you, and suck it up." My parents were floored after I said all of that, and the quartet of cops were looking pretty judgmental at them as well. I tell you, if you want to put nasty parents like mine on the spot, confront them in front of cops, because they'll likely not try anything stupid then. My mother just started crying and walking away. My father just stood there looking like he wanted to hit me, and Dan just held his kids in defeat. Oh, and my sister-in-law was off having a tantrum on the front lawn. Soon enough, they all formed a line, handing out boxes, and got their stuff out of my house. Nothing had been unpacked yet, so it was all taken out pretty quickly. But while doing it, my mother kept saying that it wasn't too late and I could still do it for Dan several times, each time trying to bargain more and more to try and make me change my mind. She said that Dan could pay me rent if I let them stay, and when that didn't work, she said I could move back in with them to let Dan rent my house so I wouldn't have to share the building. I told her to shut up and keep packing boxes because I don't want Dan or his family around. I don't want his money, and I certainly don't want to live with him or my parents ever again after the way they treated me when I was a kid. Making a deal with my parents would be like making a deal with the devil to me. My sister-in-law ended up having another tantrum after hearing that and threw a box down, then sat on the ground to have a pity party because she didn't want to go back to sharing a house with my parents. And she just sat looking angry and sad until everyone else was finished. She didn't even want to get up when it was time to leave. They finally got everything out of the house and into the truck. So before they left, I laid into my parents one last time about all of the stuff they put me through growing up. And with four cops being right there, they couldn't do much other than stand there and take it for once. I called them out on so many things that happened, and I even pointed out how they couldn't just do something nice for me, like letting me stay over with my camper when I was homeless and trying to get back on my feet, how they let Dan and my sister-in-law ridicule me and call me a bum. Well, who's the bum now? They wanted to kick me out of my own house so Dan could stay in it free of charge, yet when I needed a place to go, they wanted to gouge me for more than I could afford just to park my camper when they knew I was out of the job. There were more extremely judgmental stares from the cops when I said all of that. So I put my parents on the spot one more time and asked them what I ever did other than being born to deserve being treated so badly. Because when I finally have a little bit of success in life, they want to snatch it away from me for their favourite child, since they'd rather I give everything to Dan and have nothing for myself. I bought my house using the money that I earned. I owed them nothing, and I won't be asking anything from them ever again, because clearly I would never be anything more than a doormat or a cash cow in their eyes. I got no answers from them. They just stood there looking like fish out of water. So I continued ranting and asked them what in God's name made them think they were such good parents after all of that. My father was beet red, but more from embarrassment than anger this time. And my mother was crying that she was a horrible person. I bluntly agreed that she is a horrible person. They all are. And I bet they'll go to hell for it too. They were trashy people and they all knew it. But if I'd called them out on all of this stuff in private instead of in public, they'd just get mad at me and still act like I'm in the wrong. They just kept up the denial for so long that it's become a part of who they are. My mother buried her face in my father's jacket to cry, and my father looked more defeated than I've ever seen him. Dan and his family avoided me entirely as they finished putting everything back in the moving truck. I made sure nothing of mine was stolen, not that I'd had a chance to get much furniture yet. I was lucky to even have a couch at that time. They all got back in their vehicles, and my sister-in-law just stood staring at me with malice until my brother finally got her to drive the minivan home. And as soon as they were all gone, I got back online again and spilled the beans as to what happened. My parents were too embarrassed to even try and defend their actions this time, and while the family was somewhat split before this incident, it was now a landslide in my favour. Nearly all of the family has sided with me after this incident, and those who haven't simply aren't siding with anybody. No matter how much my parents previously tried the "we did it for Dan" line, no one listened anymore. So any remaining familial support they had is now gone. Many in the family who I expected wouldn't side with me did. That includes the former Flying Monkeys, so I guess they've finally had enough. Around that time, I offered to host half the family at next Christmas Eve in my new house, my parents were not invited. I wasn't blocked on my brother and sister-in-law's profile, surprisingly, and I saw my sister-in-law had her fourth baby in early November. They are still living with my parents. I'm pretty sure they knew I was watching because my sister-in-law kept making passive-aggressive posts every couple of weeks or so about not having enough space while living with my parents, probably to see if she can still guilt me. And I'm sure it's driving my mother and father up the wall because they aren't getting any peace and quiet in their old age with three rowdy, obnoxious kids, a mentally unstable sister-in-law, my golden child brother, and a newborn baby in the house all at once. Perhaps they could move into a camper in their own backyard and let Dan take over the house completely. They might get some peace then. Yeah, they could do that for Dan.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And there we go. OP wasn't kidding. A truly fantastic second part to this amazing story. OP, love it. Fair play. Now, before I even give my comments on what I've just read, look at this on screen right now. OP has said at the bottom of his second post that there was supposed to be more, but this post got way too long. So I'll be posting a part three later. That's right. This story hasn't even finished yet. It sounds like it has, but apparently there's more to come. And I, for one, am definitely going to get into part three as soon as he releases it. As for what I've just read, though, part two, I've got to say, OP, the way you handled this for the first time, calling them out in public, amazing. Look, I get it. You had the police behind you and you probably felt pretty confident to really say what you had on your mind in that spot. But it's a good thing you did because, as you said, you've never had that experience before where this sort of confrontation hasn't happened in private. So yeah, I can imagine them looking at you with the police behind you, you just ranting at them, telling them how horrible they are. The police thinking, oh my God, are they really this bad? You saying, yeah, and them just cowering. Like, what an image. Imagine that. Four policemen, Dan in front, just abusing his parents. In a good way, I must say. Insane. But yeah, that is going to do it for part two of this episode. Again, if you haven't yet seen part one, none of this would have really made sense, but it's on screen now and linked in the top line of the description. And I, for one, am very excited for part three. If you are too, hit the subscribe button and turn notifications on so you don't miss that as soon as it's uploaded. As soon as it's live, guys, I'll be posting it. So you're going to want to turn notifications on, drop a like on the episode if you enjoyed it, and I'll see you tomorrow for a brand new Reddit episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.